It can be such a confusing word in our language. I can say that I love my children, and I can say that I love watching Downton Abbey. Both of these statements are true. But I assure you that my feelings for my children are nothing like my feelings about watching the Crawley family's adventures on Sunday nights. Love can have really different meanings, really different contexts. And lots of these different experiences that people have of love, they may look the same from the outside, but feel very different on the inside. You know, the ancient Greeks, they knew a lot of stuff, and they have things that help. They, for instance, had different words for different kinds of love. Sort of like in Portland, we have rain and drizzle, and, you know, they had different words for different kinds of love. First, they had eros. Eros is a word for that passion that young lovers feel for each other. It's that romantic, head-over-heels love that is often connected with physical attraction, the kind you feel at the beginning of a new romance. Many of us think that this romantic eros love is adorable or even enviable. And it can be. Eros is what most of the songs on the radio are about. But the ancient Greeks, they often considered this to be a dangerous kind of love because of its out-of-control nature and the way those feelings could get you into trouble. Eros is most powerful indeed. But there's also pragma, or that long-standing love. And those of us who've been married for a very long time know that those crazy new crush feelings, they're not what lasts you until the golden wedding anniversary. It's something else. It's a different kind of love. Pragma is based on compromise, in mutual regard and respect, and in tolerance. I've heard it said when we start out a relationship, we fall in love, but over time, instead, we stand in love. This is pragma. And it makes me sad when I hear folks think that when that crazy eros feeling starts to fade, that means the relationship is over, and then you dump that person, move on to a new eros kind of thing. That's makes me sad. Because when the love of pragma, which sounds a lot like pragmatic to me, it's a fine love and it can sometimes see you through the hills and valleys of life that can come upon us. It's comforting and warm and not always so thrilling. Here's a reflection by Anne Merle Lindbergh that I often read at weddings. For marriage, which is always spoken of as a bond, becomes actually many bonds, many strands of different texture and strength, making up a web that is taut and firm. The web is fashioned of love, yes, but many kinds of love. Romantic love at first, then the slow-growing devotion, and playing through these a constant rippling of companionship. Made of loyalties and interdependencies and shared experiences. It's woven of memories of meeting and conflict, of triumphs and disappointments. It's a web of communication, a common language, and the acceptance of lack of language, too. A knowledge that likes and dislikes of habits and reactions, both physical and mental. It is a web of instincts and intuitions and known and unknown exchanges. The web of marriage is made by propinquity in the day-to-day living side by side, looking onward and forward in the same direction. It is woven in time and space of the substance of life itself. There's also philia, the deep love of a good, deep friendship. We have philia for a comrade we fought with side by side in a battlefield, or someone we spent years in the trenches of a social movement with. These might be your old high school buddies or college buddies that you've still stayed in touch with, or that poker group that's met every week for the last decade. I expect there are a number of those filial relationships here at WOOF. And there's a special subset of these filia called strong. I think I'm saying that right. Which is the love you have for family members. The way you love your parents, your siblings, even your children. This is much more constant than eros. More reliable and more lasting. There's ludus for playful love. This can range from a flirtatious dance to the joshing that happens at Mardi Gras. Most of us have experienced this flirting or suggestive kidding with someone just because it was fun. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't a deep connection. It's just kind of a mutual game. It's only problematic when people are confused and think it's something different from what it is. And then there's agape love. This is that selfless love for other human beings that is sometimes referred to by our language as empathy or compassion. As you may know, compassion is our ministry theme for this month, being a compassionate community. Agape is the word, is that stuff that keeps the nurse's aide warm and friendly as they care for their demented patients. It's what urges the firefighters to run towards the falling Twin Towers. The Buddhists call it loving kindness. And if you read the Christian Bible in its original Greek language, this is the word you would see over and over and over again. In fact, that reading from Corinthians that we so often hear about faith, hope, and love, it's not about the love of honeymooners. The word, if you were to read it, actually is the translation of agape. So here's that famous passage that you've often heard, but with a better translation using the word compassion instead of the word love. See how it sounds to you. If I speak in tongues of mortals and angels but do not have compassion, I am a noisy gong or a clanging bell. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith so as to move mountains but do not have compassion, I'm nothing. If I give away all I possess and hand over my body to be burned but I do not have compassion, I gain nothing. Compassion is patient. Compassion is kind. Compassion is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Compassion never ends. Prophecies will come to an end, tongues will cease, knowledge will come to an end. Now faith, hope, and compassion abide, and of these three, the greatest of these is compassion. Last time of this, of the Greek, is, let's say this right, Philautia? Maybe he's out there, I don't know, probably not. Or the way you love yourself. The kind of self-love needs to be balanced, of course. There's self-love that's positive, that stuff that gives us self-esteem. Self-esteem is good, happy self-esteem, confidence. We need to love ourselves and treat ourselves as valuable people. It helps us take good care of ourselves and provides us a base with which we can care for others and love others. But then there's that arrogant, narcissistic kind of self-love that can be destructive. It's a kind of self-love that overshadows the compassionate agape and keeps the person from focusing on other people. It's not so good. Well, Forrest Gump, of course, said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, I titled this sermon, Love is Like a Box of Chocolates. And it's true, because with love, you're really never sure what you're going to get or what's going to happen. Boy, love can be full of surprises, all these kinds of love. can be so full of surprises. If you would have told me the day I met my husband that we were going to be together for over 30 years, I would have thought you were just crazy. I didn't even think of dating him the day I met him. But life is full of surprises. Love can be full of surprises. And I was thinking that chocolate, like love, comes in many forms. And we sometimes, with chocolate and with love, get the different forms confused. There are different kinds of love. And I will tell you, I'm a huge fan of chocolate, so I've studied this a bit. The confection we usually think of as chocolate is made up of processed cocoa beans mixed with some kind of fats and some kind of sugar. How much fat and sugar and whatever else is added is determines how it's going to taste. Here's my brief description of what I mean. Has anyone ever tasted unsweetened baking chocolate? You were maybe making a cake and you saw that melted Baker square in the pan and you thought, well, it's chocolate, it must be good. And then you tried it. Eating it was probably not a pleasant experience. You thought it was going to be something it wasn't. On the other hand, I was in a gourmet chocolate shop recently where they sold very, very good quality chocolate for eating that had no sweetener at all. It was made from a very mellow, single-source strain bean, and it allowed diabetics and others who couldn't have sweeteners at all to still enjoy some chocolate. And I tasted it. It was okay. Bittersweet chocolate is my favorite. The good stuff is made just of cocoa bean, cocoa butter, and sugar. And the content is often around 70%. It's considered an antioxidant, so it's health food. But the flavor is complicated. There's a pleasant sweetness of fine chocolate, but it's not very sweet. It feels good with that boost of theobromine that it gives you, that delightful stimulant that I think is better than caffeine. But you can't eat too much of it. After too much, the bitter starts to show through. So it's generally not the favorite candy of young children, but mostly it's for adults. Now, milk chocolate, especially the kind developed by the Hershey Company, still uses cocoa and cocoa butter and sugar, but they blend in milk as well. And this kind of chocolate has more sugar and less cocoa than the bittersweet. There is no bitter aftertaste, but after you eat lots and lots of it, the sweetness gets to be a little cloying, a little too much. Then there's white chocolate that just isn't chocolate at all, really. It's cocoa butter and sugar, but absolutely no cocoa. All of the fat and calories with none of the character, in my opinion. But there are other things that are called chocolate that can also be disappointing. They can kind of fool you. Think about those mass-produced types of chocolate you find in inexpensive chocolate coins and Easter bunnies. You see them and you think, wow, it's chocolate. It's got to be good. And then you bite down. They look like chocolate, and they're brown like chocolate, but there's so many additives, so much partially hydrogenated soybean oil, and the taste of the chocolate just isn't there. Oh, you keep eating it. You keep thinking, if I keep eating this, it'll be chocolate. But it never works. You ever had a love like that? You just keep trying. I know this is going to work. Everything looks like it's supposed to work. But it just never does. Love can be like this. Not everyone has the same wants with love either. Some of us like that 70% cocoa content. Well, some of us really like the 35%. And there are even people who like white chocolate. There are a wide variety of tastes in what we want in a loving relationship. Some folks want the excitement, and some folks want the comfort. And sometimes we just don't get what we want. In terms of that eros and excitement, is it love or is it just a good time? The key to living in compassion and respect is to know what you seek. And if you enter into a relationship, know what the other person seeks as well. How many of us have seen broken hearts? When we see a couple where one of them is just head over heels and the other one is not. They're just along for the fun. These so often end badly. Living with integrity involves being honest with others and with ourselves. One of the things that our Unitarian Universalist kids learn in their Our Whole Lives sex education classes is how to talk about feelings, identify feelings and talk about them in a dating relationship. They learn how to not give in to pressure just because of what someone else wants, but to be clear about what they want and what they don't want, and to communicate that clearly with the other person. This can be a real help if you're not ready to move a relationship on to another level. These kids learn how to say, you know, I like you a lot, and I'm just not ready to do that right now today. Some people want that love that goes with the attachment of raising a child. They find parenthood to be the most important relationship in their lives. It's the context in which their life has its meaning. And for others, it's just not what they want. They either feel it might get in the way of other important aspects of their life, like a career or freedom to travel, or they just don't feel the urge of a parent-child relationship. They see how it changes a person's life, and that's not a change that they seek. I'll say that I really wanted to have children. I'm really glad I did, and creating my children is likely the best thing I will have ever done in my life. But parenting is really hard. It really does disrupt everything, just like it looks. It's hard enough when you want to do it. I believe we are well served to respect and have compassion for people for whatever decision they make, either to parent or to not parent. Either path can bring you satisfying life with many rewards. And you might have noticed that this is Valentine's Day. It's not just Oregon's birthday, it's also Valentine's Day. It's a day many folks dread. All this talk about loving couples, as if that's the only way you can be happy. Many single people have good, healthy sense of self. Many have good relationships with friends and with extended family. On Valentine's Day, these people who are single sometimes feel left out. Sometimes people who are single because they choose to be, for similar reasons to why people choose to not be parents. It takes up a lot of time and your energy. Those who choose to stay single often live good lives and are not plagued with loneliness, as many people think they are. But there are also folks who are single not by choice. Perhaps they've lost their loving relationship because of death or divorce or illness. Perhaps they've tried to find and maintain a relationship and have just not had success they've hoped for. In some cases, they can have a serious feeling of grief and loss. There's the loss of the person they want to be with, maybe. The loss of the dream of how it could have been. So today, on Valentine's Day, we grieve with, as well as celebrate with, people wherever they are. And we want you to know that love comes in many forms and that compassion and friendship are here for you at WOOF. That's the kind of love we can give you. Now, I promised you a chocolate communion today. I will not let you down. In a moment, I'll pass out these bags, and we'll pass them like collection plates, so we're going to be different and start from the front. We have two kinds. We have organic, fair trade, dark 55% cocoa mini bars, from the same people we buy our coffee from. The staff tested these for quality control, and they're really quite good. And because we also honor diversity in people's tastes, there are also a few good old-fashioned Hershey Kisses in there. Because that's what some people want. And I'm not judging. So as the bag goes, if you feel so moved, take a piece of candy. But I ask that you do not unwrap it yet so we can join together in our chocolate communion. Isn't it so? The religious insights from chocolate are just boundless, aren't they? While this is passing, I'll let you know I actually read an article once that said theobromine, that chemical that's in chocolate that makes you feel so good, is actually biochemically related to some of the brain chemistry when you have Eros love. So that crazy falling in love feeling, it's chemically similar to dark chocolate. If it got all the way down the sides, but the middle isn't done yet, the side people could hand it to the back, and you guys are so on it. Banish the thought. So everyone has some chocolate who wants some. Okay, now we're going to do a chocolate meditation, so take yourself to the zone. Okay, now together, unwrap your chocolate, but just hold it in your hand. Mm-hmm. Look at the color. Smell the aroma. Is it melting in your hand? Is your mouth watering? Now take just a tiny bit, not the whole thing, tiny bit, and let it dissolve slowly without chewing it. Notice the tastes involved. The sweetness, the complex other flavors that might be present in your chocolate. How you feel when you eat the chocolate. Does this flavor remind you of anything in your life associated with any memories? This is a way to practice mindfulness, this chocolate meditation. And the children are going to do it in their RE classes as well. Now you can choose. You can either nibble at the edges, or you can pop the whole thing in your mouth, or anything in between. But think about which you chose. And when your chocolate is all gone, think about how you feel. Yes, love is like a box of chocolates. Both involve some choice, and both involve some risk. Love and chocolate can both bring you joy, and they can also be kind of messy. Different people have different tastes, and different people have different desires. But know that your love and your life, in whatever form it takes, is honored here at WOOF as we grow in compassionate community. May it be so.